Okay. No, Rabbi Eliezer wants to know, if I come into your sukkah, you don't mind that I come into your sukkah. You didn't invite me into your sukkah. I came into your sukkah. But it's not my sukkah, so can I fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah if it's not my sukkah?
And it reminds
me. Do you mind, John, if we?
I had my dear friend at one time.
So it says lecha. So yeah. Rabbi Eliezer says, you know, well, what are you going to do with the pasuk lecha?
Yeah, a friend of mine invited me to the sukkah, and I came with beforehand to look at the sukkah, and I'm standing there looking and checking it over like that. He goes, insulted. He said,
"You don't trust his kashrus of the sukkah."
My akpada, you don't have to have my
right. Okay, so let's get started. There are a couple of different parts of the sugya that we want to cover today. There are pages here that we photocopied. Alan did the photocopying. I did a little photocopying. So you'll see two piles there. If you want to take one of each pile, and as we go along, Mirtz Hashem, we'll figure out what's going on. Okay. So again, the shiur today will be divided up into different parts. So we're up to the first part. We mentioned, and for those of you who may not have heard it, I'll just repeat it in a summary form, that the Sfasemes assumes that according to Tosfos, there's a fundamental difference between case A and case B. Case A is where he doesn't have an esrog, and case B is where he has an esrog, but the problem is the esrog is what?
Possible.
Is possible. And according to the Sfasemes, this distinction will impact on the following question. If you have no esrog, then says the Sfasemes, you're not allowed to take a different min. You know, you can't find the fruit of your choice and substitute it for an esrog. However, he assumes that in the case of an esrog that's possible, assuming that in this case you have no other esrog available for you, the only esrog that you have is an esrog apostle, you take the esrog and you make a brach on it and you yotze the mitzvah of esrog. In other words, he insists that according to Shitas HaTosfos, that's how he analyzes the Tosfos on the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, when we say that a lulav or an esrog is possible, what we're saying is that l'chatchil, if you have another choice, take another esrog. Don't take this esrog. But if you have no other choice, then ein chinami, you can make a bracha and you'll be out to the mitzvah of esrog. And it changes the whole nature of the concept of possible. Now, the Sfasemes assumes, therefore, that the distinction between taking another min and taking an esrog posel is mi katza el akatza. It's from one extreme to the other. Whereas in the case of another min, you know, he takes his pomegranate instead of an esrog, that's an isur, according to the Chazon Ish. You're not allowed to do such a thing. And that's how the Chazon Ish interprets the Gemara of Dilma Asi L'Misrach, that we're afraid that if you start taking another min, who knows where that's going to end up. On the other extreme, we have the case of an esrog posel, which according to the Sfasemes' understanding of Tosfos, in a case where you have no other esrog, then on the other extreme, you're chayav to take that esrog posel with a bracha asher kitshan mitzosav etzivanu. That's the difference between the isur of taking another min and the mitzvah, in a case where you have no other choice, of taking an esrog posel. When I say an esrog posel, I'm just giving you an example. But anything that's posel, according to the Sfasemes' understanding of Tosfos, I should make a bracha on in event that I have nothing else to take.
If you don't have an esrog, is there any point whatsoever in holding down three? Without
a bracha, well, again, if not, in the Havamina, the Gemara, taking three. Yeah. No, three is not going to help you. You know, that's a waste of time. The Havamina of the Gemara was that if you take a fourth min, which is not an esrog, but it's substance for an esrog, that might be meaningful. And according to the Sfasemes, the Gemara rejects that with an iser. And the Gemara the Gemara objects to doing such a thing.
So if they could get an etrog for whatever reason, I mean, today they're readily available, but say they just couldn't get one,
you're not allowed to take another fruit, but if you have an etrog that's possible, you have to take it, and you make a bracha on it. That's how the Sfasemis understands Tosfos. We're going to offer another approach today, if you give me just a few minutes, but right now I want to make sure that what we said yesterday was crystal clear. This was the last piece in yesterday's Shia. And for those of you who may not have been here, or you were here and you didn't pay attention, or you were here and I didn't make it clear, whatever it is, any of the above, that this becomes the opening discussion of our Shia today, is that according to the Sfas Emes, Tosus Shita is that if you have a lulav posel, an esrog posel, it means l'chatchila you can't take it because you have another option of an esrog kosher. So the theory of posel is the theory of relativity, that relative to an esrog kosher, it's posel and you shouldn't take it, but in and of itself it's an esrog kosher, and therefore if you have no other choice, then you take that esrog.
So if you make a bracha, the bracha you're making is drabanan. I mean, all the brachas are rabbanan anyways, but I mean, what the mitzvah is the rabbanan on this esrog puzzle.
I don't know. The Fasena seems to assume that an esrog puzzle, even on a doraisa level, is only puzzle relative to an esrog kosher.
Really?
That's how he understands it. And that would mean that the bracha of Asher Kidshanu Mitzvos of Tzivan, at least on the first day of the Chag, would be doraisa. Okay, now, what I want to present to you today is another way of understanding Tosfos. That the Gemara here never meant to say that you can make a bracha on an esrog posel. That's not a hava mina. An esrog posel means it's possible both l'chatchila and b'dieved. That's the way I would say it. And the reason for that is that you can ask yourself the following question. I'll say it in a very short form, and then we'll try to make sure we understand what I'm saying. Does the principle of Dilma Asi L'Misrach apply equally to both a non-esrog as it would to an esrog posel? Let's assume, and I'll explain this, that Dilma Asi L'Misrach, that the problem that we're worried about that could be generated down the line, is Shava B'Shava. It's equally applicable to both a substitute for an esrog and for an esrog posel. In both cases, we have to get very nervous about the possibility of what's going to happen, the implications down the line, when people, as I said, will tell me what the Zayda did back in the day, and they're going to rely on a quince or a pomegranate, or they're going to rely on an esrog yavesh, a dried up esrog. So if that be the case, then remember that Tosfos made a diuk in the Gemara. The Gemara said that you should not take a substitute for an esrog. And what the Gemara might be saying is the following, according to Tosfos, that in the case of a substitute esrog, you're not allowed to take an esrog that's not an esrog, meaning a substitute for an esrog, a different pre. That's absolutely unacceptable. What about an esrog posel? Well, that's not the subject of this brice. So the brice doesn't mention a word about an esrog posel. The brice says that you shouldn't take velo parish, velo rimon, velo dover acher. Right, take a look again at the Gemara and check me out on daf lamin aleph amin aleph. So Tosfos comes along and says, well, why didn't the brice mention an esrog posel? That would have been an even bigger chiddush. Don't take an esrog posel. I might have a habmina to say, well, an esrog posel, chotch, at least it's an esrog. So Tosfos therefore says that there's going to be a fundamental difference here between a min, other than the esrog, and an esrog posel. But how far is Tosfos willing to go with that? If the Gemara's discussion here, vacillating back and forth, is about whether you're allowed to take another min, or it's also to take another min, and the final maskana is that you're not allowed to take another min, then let's go back to the Hava Mina that would allow you to take another min, but clearly that's not a mitzvah. Nobody in their right mind would ever entertain the idea that I'm going to make a bracha asher kitchan mitzolso v'tzivano on a quince, you know, on a pomegranate. Now Tosis comes up with a diuk. If the vacillation here in the Havmi Maskona was between mutter and asur, then that's only with regard to another min. But with regard to an esrog pasul, there will allow you to take an esrog pasul. We don't have in the framework of this brisa an isur to take an esrog pasul. And you're invited to take an esrog pasul, but you're not required to take an esrog pasul. It was never a mitzvah derabbanan. So if I put the sfasemis on the back burners and I analyze the sugya with my own brain, and if I'm not influenced by the sfasemis, I would say the following: that with regard to a substitute min, the vacillation of the Gemara, the Malad same in the Kamashbalon, was between A, are you allowed to take another min, or B, you're not allowed to take another min. And the maskot of the Gemara is you're not allowed to take another min. As far as an esrog, which is a min esrog, but it's a posel esrog, there I would say that it's exactly like the Gemara understood in the Havamina, because Tosis is wide into Bryce and mentioned a word about a posel esrog, an esrog ayovesh. The answer is, with regard to an esrog ayovesh, we'll go back to what we thought in the Havamina in the case of a replacement esrog. What do we think of the Maal de Tema with a replacement esrog? You're allowed to take it, but did anyone entertain the possibility that you have to take it, that it's a chiyuv, that it's a mitzvah, that you should make a bracha on a pomegranate? That was never ol al das mishu. It was never entertained. It never crossed the mind of anyone who has any sensitivity to the halacha, any basic knowledge of halacha, that you would make a bracha on a pomegranate. So the entire vacillation of the Gemara, what was the chiddush of this price? The price said, the Gemara says, pshito, you tell me don't take a pomegranate. Yishkoyach, I need a price to tell me not to take a pomegranate. The Torah tells me to take an esrog. So Gemara says there's a havamina that you would take a pomegranate. What does Gemara mean? There was a havamina that you make a bracha on a pomegranate? Chas v'shalom. I would never say such a thing. The havamina is you're allowed to take a pomegranate. The maskana is kamashvalon that you're not allowed to take a pomegranate. With regard to an esrog pasul, there I'm going to go back to the position of the havamina. What was the position of the havamina with regard to a pomegranate?
Could.
That you're allowed to. There was never a havamina that you'd be required to, or that was a mitzvah to.
Pomegranate?
I'm saying, Tosis's diuk is, why is it that the whole discussion here, back and forth, revolves around a pomegranate? You follow what I mean by a pomegranate.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's just the symbol, right? Why not mention an esrog pasul, an esrog yovesh, a dried up esrog? So Tosa says, apparently the din is different in the case of Apostle Ezra. Comes along Sfasemis, again, I don't want to confuse you, but he says, you know, the din is so different that you'd make a bracha on Apostle Ezra. And he reinterprets the whole concept of Ezra Apostle. It doesn't mean what you and I think it is. So what I'm doing is I'm going back to the drawing board. I'm saying, forget about the Sfasemis for a minute. Let's learn this sugya alone. Let's be free of the fetters of the, you know, the incarceration here of the Sfasemis. We're not influenced by the Sfasemis. And if I'm not influenced by the Sfasemis, I'm going to say that Tosis is diuk, that apparently an esrog pasul, right, a dried esrog, is different than a pomegranate. The difference between a dried esrog and a pomegranate is that with regard to a pomegranate, there's an iser to take a pomegranate. The Rabbanan instituted a brand new iser because in Dilma Asi L'Misrach, they said, we're not going to allow you to take a pomegranate, even if you so desire to do so and you have very good reasons and motivations, we're going to object to it. In the case of a dried esrog, an esrog pasul, there you're allowed to take the esrog pasul, according to the diuk of Tosfos, right? That, again, you have to remember the diuk of Tosfos, that why didn't the Gemara mention apostle esrog? So obviously apostle esrog does not fit into the same category as a pomegranate. Says it fits into the exact opposite category, namely that you make a bracha and there's a mitzvah to take a posel or esrog if you don't have any other option. No, that's not what the Gemara means. What the Gemara means to say is that although with regard to a pomegranate, we came to the conclusion that we don't allow you to take a pomegranate, and you have no permission to do so, in the case of an esrog posel, we're going to allow you to take an esrog posel. But for sure you're not going to make a bracha on the esrog posel. Now I would like, okay, before I go on, I want to try to prove this thesis of mine. But first of all, I have to know if you understand the thesis. If, no, I'm not asking you to agree with the thesis. But
I
just
understand it. I just don't see where it is in where what you said is in the Gemara.
No, I'm trying to read Tosfos. Right?
Oh, right. Tosfos, fine. Where does Tosfos must get it from the Gemara?
Oh, so you want to go back to where does Tosfos get it from the Gemara? Okay, yeah. So I thought I clarified that yesterday. Let me make sure that's clear. Again, Tosfos has the following question. In the Brisa, which we're analyzing, right? And then the Gemara says, Omar Mar, right? So the Brisa says that if you don't have an esrog, don't take a pomegranate. The Gemara asks Pshita, well, why would it cross my mind to take a pomegranate? The Gemara says, because maybe Kadesh lo tishtakach toras esrog. And the Gemara says, Karmashma, and the Brisa wants to tell me, don't take a pomegranate. Asi Dilma, Asi Lemisrach, we're afraid of what's going to happen down the line. Kausal and Tosfos, and he asks the following question. If the Brisa wants to tell me, don't take something, which would be a bigger chiddush? Don't even take an esrog that's posel, or don't take a pomegranate. Which would have been a bigger chiddush to tell me?
An esrog,
because an esrog, at least chashit's an esrog, so I might think, let's take this symbolic esrog. Okay, it's dry. Next year we'll know to take a moist esrog. Why didn't the Brisa mention that case? Says Tosfos, apparently that the din in that case is not the same. If the Brisa thought that, just like I tell you, lo yikach parish, let's get the language of the language of the Brisa, just so that I don't make up my own words here, right? It says lo yavi. You have it three lines before the end of the daf. Lo yavi, lo parish, etc. Why did it say lo yavi yavish? That was Tosfos's kasha. That would have been a bigger fish. Don't take a lulav that's yavish or an esrog that's yavish. Tosfos says it must be that the din changes in the case of an esrog, and there's some greater allowance in the case of an esrog yavesh, which is an esrog posel, than in the case of a pomegranate. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Well, now what's the din in the case of an esrog yavesh? I have no other esrog in front of me except for a dried up esrog. So the Sfas Emes says that according to Tosfos, since Tosfos says the din is different based on the fact that the price of it, it must be that you can make a bracha and you're obligated to take an esrog posel.
No, not obligated to take. Only that's the.
That's the Sfas Emes.
That's the only one available.
In the case, I thought I emphasized that, but I'll re-emphasize it. In the case where all you have available to you is a dried up esrog, says the Sfas Emes, what Tosfos means to say is that you're obligated to take the dried up esrog. You're going to make a bruch on the dried up esrog. We're saying something different. It's a free country, right? We love the Sfas Emes, but we want to offer another pshat. And we're getting very emotional about it. Chas v'shalom to say you make a bruch on a posel esrog. Who would say such a thing? The Sfas Emes says it. But I'm saying, we're a bunch of friends here. We're all part of a chabura. In our chabura, we don't tolerate this idea. We can't. It doesn't. The in Hebrew they say, I don't know if you're familiar, Hasimon lo nofel. I don't know if you're familiar with that. In the old days when you used the public telephone, they had these little coins that they don't have them anymore.
Yeah, slugs.
So they used to say that if at what point do you say I understand what's going on when the Hasimon goes down? So here I'm telling you the Hasimon doesn't go down. I can't accept this Sfas Emes. It's too radical of a chiddush to me to tell me that an esrog yavesh, which is not hadar, and it's posel, I'm going to make a bracha on it. In Yiddish we say, das kenitzar, the kempit. And what I'm telling you now is not necessarily right, because Sfas Emes says it could be. And who am I to shine the candle to the Sfas Emes? But I'm telling you, it can't be. For amongst our chaver. If somebody comes up to me in shul and says, Rebbe, can I make a bracha on an esrog that's as dry as a potato, I'll tell him, chas v'shalom, to make a bracha on that. I mean it seriously. What does Tosus mean when he says I have a diuk? Why didn't the Baisa tell me a bigger chiddush and an esrog posel? Obviously an esrog posel has a different din. So my analysis is that you have to realize what was the vacillation of the Gemara between the Mao de Tema and the Komashma. The Mao de Tema was that I would allow you to take a pomegranate. Again, never to make a bracha on a pomegranate, but I would allow you to take it. I have no objection. You want to take it, you think it'll help you remind you next year to take an esrog instead of a pomegranate, it's going to help you. No. Here's the kamashul. The kamashul is it's awesome to take a pomegranate. The deficits outweigh the benefits. Period. The rabbanu will not allow you to take a pomegranate. They will not tolerate it. Don't even dream of it. Comes along Tosus and he says that halacha that it's awesome to take a pomegranate that doesn't apply in the case of an esrog that's possible. But it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that Tosus is implying that you make a bracha on an esrog posel. He's only telling you that this case of a pomegranate is awesome. But in the case of an esrog posel, we're going to allow you to take an esrog posel. You have your own cheshbon. The esrog posel is going to remind you that next year you get make yourself a note that last year's esrog was dry. We didn't make a bracha on it. It was posel. But next year we'll take an esrog that's kosher and that's your cheshbon. So Tosus says apparently that you're allowed to do.
And make a bracha on it, says.
Well, wait a minute, I'm in the maskana of Tosus. Oh. So you're in the Havamina of Tosus. You gotta give me a little time here. I want to read the line of Tosus, which the Sfasemis claims is the bottom line of Tosus, the bottom line literally and figuratively. Literally meaning it's the last line of Tosus, and figuratively means that's what Tosus would paskin la'alocha l'maisa in the case of someone, again, Michael, who has no other esrog except for Yavish. And the Sfasemis reads Tosfos as saying that you should make a bracha on it. And he quotes the halach of Shas HaTchak. We'll see it inside in a minute. What I'm going to try to claim, because again, as I told you at the outset, it's very, very difficult for me to imagine making a bracha on a lulav hayovesh. I'm going to claim that a careful reading of the Tosfos will lead me to a different conclusion. Not the conclusion of the Sfasemis. Everybody on board now? At least we're ready. We're ready to, to turn on the engine. Okay. Take a look at the last line in Tosfos. He says the following. When I say the last line, let me backtrack a little bit. V'yesh lidchos. Do you see that three lines up from the bottom? V'yesh lidchos. Meaning that Tosfos is now backtracking from his original position. But he admits, Aval yesh ledagdeg dishari kmo lulav posel lerabbanon dishas hadchak.
Which is?
Which word am I going to emphasize here in this Tosfos? Can anybody guess? Dishari. Look at that word, dishari. Now follow this. There are three possibilities in all of halacha. When we get to mitzvahs, there's asur, there's mutter or rishus, if you want to call it that, and then there's chayav. The difference between asur and chayav is quite clear, because in the case of asur, you're not allowed to do it that way. In the case of chayav, you're required to do that. But where does the middle category fit in? The middle category, I say you're allowed to, but you're not obligated to do. What does that mean? And furthermore, how is that going to... This is a phrase I learned from one of my friends who's a lawyer. How does that cut ice? Meaning, might have to be. How would I gauge, in halachic terms, if I was looking in Shulchan Aruch, and I want to know if the following mitzvah is obligatory, or I shouldn't do it that way, and it's absolutely awesome, or, it's okay. You have permission to do so, but you're certainly not obligated. How would I gauge that? Meaning, In Hebrew we say, how do you check someone's blood pressure, or blood, not blood pressure, his pulse, you know, to figure out what it means that you're allowed to do it, but you're not obligated to do it. Anybody know what the barometer is? Bruch, exactly. If it's allowed, then there's no bruch. If it's a bracha, it means you're obligated. Then now look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, "Me aval yesh ledagdik, what I will be medagdik is dishari. It's permitted." So the Sfasemis understood that dishari means you're allowed to make a bracha on it. Nay, that's not what Tosfos means. There's no such thing as shari levarech. What do I mean? Bracha fits into one of two categories.
Yes,
either it's asur or you're obligated to make a bracha. Is there such a thing as a voluntary bracha? No such thing as a voluntary bracha. A voluntary bracha is called a bracha levatola. You can't make a bracha on something that you're allowed to do. You can only make a bracha on something that you're obligated to do. Meaning if there's a mitzvah, then you can make a bracha on it. If there's no mitzvah, then you don't make a bracha. Tosfos doesn't say chayv levarech. He says shari. What he means by shari is that you're allowed to take the etrog posel because of your own logic. You think that it'll be a good reminder for you that next year you better get a moist etrog. You know, don't wait till the last minute when the only thing that you can find in the shuk is a dried up etrog. That you're allowed to do shari. And Tosfos equates it with the case of a lulav posel. A dried up esrog is no different than a lulav posel. So you take a lulav posel rabbanon. Why? Because you have shasat chak means you have no other option. You don't have a lulav kosher. But it doesn't say anything more than shari. Shari could not mean shari levarech. There's no such concept as shari levarech.
So what does the word levarech the posel mean?
Where? At the beginning of Tosfos?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Tosfos backtracks. Again, the key backtrack is v'yesh lidchos. Tosfos says yesh lidchos, meaning I have no digduk, and therefore Tosfos says that lamaisa it's shari. So again, if the Sfasemis wants to build his case on the beginning of Tosfos, what we call the havamin of Tosfos, that's one thing. But Tosfos rejects it. He says v'yesh lidchos. And now the Sfasemis wants to put into the maskon of Tosfos that Tosfos says that just like the Rabbana, which we'll get to in Mirtz Hashem later on, are going to say that you're allowed to take a lulav posel, b'shasat chag, Tosfos says that you're allowed to take an esrog yovesh. Fine. But to make another jump here and say that Tosfos would encourage you to make a bracha on it, where do you see that? He uses the word shari. Shari can't mean shari levarech, Rabbo. So there's no such thing as shari levarech. You're chayav levarech, or you're also levarech. There's no middle ground. David?
If I would choose to smell a beautiful flower and then say the bracha on that, is that a voluntary bracha, or am I...
You're obligated to make that bracha.
Having smelled it, now I'm obliged to have made that.
Correct.
Having chosen to smell it, now I'm obliged
chose
to
smell
it,
right. But here, there's no mitzvah to take a lulav posel or an esrog yovesh, but Tosfos says shari. And why is it shari? How does Tosfos know that you're allowed to take a... Well, why is it any better? Why is an esrog yovesh any better than what? Than a pomegranate? The answer is because the Bryce only mentioned pomegranate. The Bryce didn't say anything about an esrog posel. But Tosfos never meant to say that therefore we're going to jack up an esrog posel to the highest level and call it a mitzvah with a bracha. Again, Michael's pointing out in the Havamim. Tosfos says in the Havamim, Yesh ledak mikadim lo matzah kosher mevarech. This is a proof for me, not a proof for the Sfasemis. Because at the end of Tosfos, he doesn't say mevarech. He only says shari. And the word shari could not possibly tolerate shari levarech. You can't say shari levarech. Because if you're obligated to take this min, because according to Sfasemis, in the absence of a kosher esrog, you're obligated to take a yavesh, then it's not just shari levarech, it's chayev levarech. He has to make a bracha on that. You can't do a mitzvah without taking a bracha. Again, I know, when I say you can't do it, I mean you're not allowed. If you did it, you did it. But I'm saying, you know, when you're obligated to mitzvah, then you're also obligated in a bracha. So Tosfos couldn't have said shari, and he means shari levarech. There's no such thing as an optional bracha. If the mitzvah is optional, that's one thing. So you don't make a bracha on an optional mitzvah. You know, optional mitzvah means it's not a mitzvah. It's just it's just a maisa shoya. Yeah, wait, Mitch wanted to say something. Yeah.
No, unless you're a woman, if you're going to a sukkah, you can make a bracha.
Okay, so Mitch is asking me the following. We have the case of an optional mitzvah in the case of a woman. So a woman is exempt from a time bound mitzvah, but she has the option of doing the mitzvah. So Mitch is asking, which is a kash on Rabbeinu Tam. Let's put Rabbeinu Tam on the side for a minute, Mitch, just so we appreciate the Rambam, because the Rambam is a much simpler shita. And the Rambam says she can sit in sukkah if she likes, she can take the lulav if she likes, but she doesn't make a bracha. Because the bracha is asher kidshanu mitzvos v'tzivanu. If she doesn't have an obligation, then she can't say v'tzivanu, she can't make a bracha and say, thank you God for obligating me. Comes along Rabbeinu Tam, and he says that a woman makes a bracha on an optional mitzvah. So everybody and their uncle tries to figure out what Rabbeinu Tam means. How can she make a bracha asher kidshanu mitzvos v'tzivanu when the Torah said she's not obligated? So there are many, many different answers. I'm just going to give you what's, in a sense, the simplest or the most common answer, is that when the Torah says about a woman that she's exempt from a mitzvah, what the Torah is saying is that she's not excluded from the mitzvah. She has the option to take upon the mitzvah as if she were obligated. And therefore, when she decides that she wants to listen to the shofar, or she wants to sit in the sukkah, or she wants to take the lulav, she has taken upon herself, she's accepted upon herself optionally, to be obligated in the mitzvah. And that's what Rabbeinu Tam means, that she can say, asher kidshanu mitzvos v'tzivanu. But let's shift back to our paradigm. Our case here is a pasul esra. The esra is pasul. The Torah says hadar, and this one is dry as it gets. And therefore it's not an esra. Counsel in Sfasemis, he says, no, that only means because you have another esra. You have another option. But if you don't have another option, the Torah obligates you to take this. Mecha taste it. So he says that's what Torah Tosus means when he says, shari levarich. Meaning that Tosus in the maskana, when he finally comes back to the yesh livchos aval, yesh lidagdeg, he means what he said in the Hava Mina. We're suggesting that that's not true. If Tosis in the Maskona is going back to his Hava Mina, then he would have said mevarech, or chayav levarech. Instead he says shari. Shari in this case doesn't make any sense. There's no such thing as an optional mitzvah. If it's possible, it's possible. You can't say God commanded me to take it. If it's not possible, because I have no other esra, then I'm obligated to take it. So what do you mean shari? The whole word shari is out of place here, according to the Sfasemis. I claim that the word shari indicates that Tosus thought this whole sugya was vacillating about whether you're allowed to or you're not allowed to. Meaning it would never entertain, the Gemara never entertained the idea that you'd be obligated to take something that's not an esrog or it's an esrog possible. For sure it's out of the question. Oh, says Tosus, now I have a diuk. The Gemara says that you can take a possible if it's a shasat chak, meaning if you have no other option. What Tosus means to say, you're allowed to take it. It's not like the case of a pomegranate where you're not allowed to take the pomegranate.
So my question before, when I said, can you take three of the aluminium, and you said absolutely not. But according to this now, if I understand it correctly, you can actually take three plus a possible esrog, and that's okay. That would at least achieve.
That would at least be mutter. Right. It wouldn't be a mitzvah, and you wouldn't make a bracha unless you like the Sfasemis.
You would make a bracha in the Havamina.
The Sfasemis. Tosin the Havamina thought that maybe you'd make a bracha on an apostle or Esru. And that's why he says Levarech. Kamzul and Sfasemis. And he says, even though Tosin says Yesh Litchos, and he backtracks from his original position, nevertheless, since he says Shari, he means you're allowed to make the bracha. But the halacha doesn't recognize such a concept. There's no such thing as you're allowed to make a bracha.
Right.
Either you're obligated or you're not obligated. Is it possible or is it not possible?
You're right.
So you're telling me, b'shas adchak, it's not possible. If it's not possible, b'shas adchak, I'm obligated to make a bracha. Tosus wouldn't say Shari. The word Shari is totally out of place.
I what you're saying is correct. What the thing is, how would the Sfasemis even propose that Tosus in a Havamina would say you make a bracha on something that's possible?
The word possible means it's relatively possible. It's possible. It's posel chatchila. All over Shas, we have posel chatchila, we have posel b'di'evet in many different cases. So, for example, in Kodshim, we'll say that shalol lishma is posel chatchila, but b'di'evet, maybe the carbon is kosher if it's not a chappas, okay, or if it's not a carbon vessel. Yeah, David.
If you take the dried esrog without a bracha, you take the four minim like Michael asked. You didn't do a mitzvah then. It's like doing nothing. You take the four minim. You do what you do without a bracha. Is there anything at all you've done?
You might be encouraged to do so if you're convinced that it's a very good. I don't know, I'm lacking the terminology. I'll call it a memory device. I don't have a better word for it right now. If somebody could come up with a better word, I'll be excited. But you made a cheshbon, you made a calculation on know thyself, as Socrates said, right? So you know yourself, and you know that if you take a dried up esrog this year, next year you'll beat yourself to a pulp until you get yourself back, out there on the market to take the right esrog. Because last year you took a posel esrog, the rabbi told you, don't you dare make a bracha on this esrog. So you decided, but you know what? In the long run, it's good for me to do this. Why? Because next year I'll do better. So the halacha is, that's what Tosfos wants me to daik, that b'shas adchak, meaning if you have no other esrog, maybe it's a good idea. You make that decision on your own, but you're allowed to.
But
don't make a bracha on it. It's a posel esrog.
I'm chayiv in the mitzvah of arba milah.
Right.
So if I don't have the proper esrog, I didn't do the mitzvah. It's nice to do it, but I didn't do the mitzvah this year.
So according to this Fasemis, it works like this. You're chayiv in arba minim, period. You're chayiv lechatchila in arba minim ksherim, but b'di'evet, meaning b'shas hadchak, you have no other option. You're chayiv in arba minim, period. And even if those minim are psulim,
I'm with the bracha.
Again, as soon as I say the word chayiv, it means with a bracha. That's what the word chayiv means. The import of chayiv is bracha, the import of bracha is chayiv.
So chayiv comes and goes.
Depending upon your situation. That's the Sfasemis. It's a pella. Again, the Sfasemis is mind-boggling. It undermines everything that we understand. He thinks that posel esrog means posel chatchila. Like we have all over the place in Shas, we have cases where the Gemara used the word posel, it means chatchila. You're not Yotze. But in the event, if you did it, you went ahead and you did it, you're Yotze. Right?
I wanted to say, it's possible that the Sfasemis, to save the Sfasemis from...
You want to defend the Sfasemis. He's a Gerach Hasid. He has the genes.
Satya, actually.
Okay. That's good enough for me. To me, it's...
But the Indian is maybe that the Sfasemis is telling you there was the original Havamina is rejected. But what is the Havamina? The whole life, what you have to go back and decide, why are they going through this machination all together and making you coming up with some sort of a pretend thing that really isn't so? The originally, Tosfos may want it to say that we wanted to save his not being able to perform a mitzvah this year. So not to be able to perform a mitzvah, so what we do is we say, he makes it some sort of to be the other thing that makes arba minim out of it, and it's okay, and then we end the thing. Later on, in the maskana, the Sfasemis is saying, that isn't what we're looking for. We're looking about shikha, that Chas V'Shalom, we shouldn't the next year make the wrong thing. So, to make the wrong thing, then you can't make a brach on it. Because if you make a brach on it, you're giving the stamp of approval on it, and you make the same mistake.
So again, so that's okay for me, but the Sfasemis says no. He says, Shari Lavar. That's what he says. That the Maskana Tosis, read the last line of Tosis, and the word Shari means Shari Lavar.
Okay.
Take the word Lavar from the beginning of Tosis and paste it, copy and paste it onto the end.
But that gets me
very nervous.
But according to your understanding of it, you don't have to say that the Sfasemis is saying Shari Lavar.
No. What I'm saying is that the Sfasemis is wrong. So who am I to say the Sfasemis is wrong?
You don't have to say the Sfasemis is wrong. You say that your interpretation is correct. That he says Shari, he's only mean Shari that you can take the...
Right, that's not what the Sfasemis says, but I'm saying if not for the Sfasemis, this is the way I would interpret Tosfos. That Shari means you're allowed to take the fourth... when you have three minim kshirim, you're allowed to take the fourth bin as possible. I'm not sure how far Tosfos would go. Let's say all you had is four minim psulim, I don't know. But again, the main point that I want you to take out of this is that without the Sfasemis, we could have learned Tosfos, and not only that, I think we have to learn Tosfos, that the final bottom line of Tosis' position is that if you have an Esrog Pasul, we're going to allow you to take it, but you should know it's not a mitzvah, and it's not a chiv, and there's no bracha. Sure. And that's in contrast to what? To a pomegranate. A pomegranate, don't even dream of taking it. We're not going to allow you to take it. If you do so, flog you down with 39 malchus. Okay, we'll give you the light type of malchus. That's called malchus mardus, you know. But the rabbanon did not allow you to do that. But in the case of an esrog pasul, since it still is an esrog, at least it belongs to the min esrog, there we're gonna look the other way. But don't you dare think or entertain the idea of making a bracha. That's what I'm suggesting. If it's okay with you, Rabosai, this was meant to be the introduction to part one of a four-part shiur. So if I can just ask you to hold your questions for a little bit, let me tell you what the main point of today's first section of the shiur is all about. And that's called the Aruch Lanner. Please open up to your photocopy, if you can, of the Aruch Lanner. Okay then? And it should look like this page, if you have it. Do you see it's where it says Ukvar Hiksha, which is letter number Vav? Hopefully you have such a thing. Here, letter number Vav. If somebody could just pass that around, because otherwise we're going to spend 10 minutes on something that's totally irrelevant. Okay. Now, the Aruch Lanner. Right, everybody knows who the Aruch Lanner is. Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, he lived... He was evicted from the university in Germany in 1820 because of anti-Semitism. Okay, just to give you a perspective. And if I tell you he was the Rebbe of Shem Shlomo Hirsch, that doesn't do justice to him. The man, forget about being the Rebbe of Shem Shlomo Hirsch, he was a genius amongst geniuses. Now, why are we learning this Aruch Lanner? We've been assuming, and Sfasemis has led us down this path, that if I were to ask you, what would be your answer to the following question? I have no Esther, period. Can I take a pomegranate? Absolutely not. Says the Aruch Lanner, again, he doesn't say this, and he never would have said it, you are brainwashed by the Sfas Emes. And you're absolutely wrong. Nowhere does it say that you're not allowed to take a pomegranate. This is very important to have discussion. Says the Aruch Lanner, Minole Lomarke, where did he get the audacity to suggest that you're not allowed to take a pomegranate? The Besalke died to the Gemara, Mefarshinon, the Hadlo Yikach Min Ache, Hurak Heder Chiyuv. The Gemara thought that the Bryson was just telling me that you're not obligated to take a pomegranate. The Alkane Parch Pshita. And the Gemara asks the following question. The Gemara thinks that there's no reason for the Braisa to tell me that you're not obligated, you're not chayev to take a pomegranate. It never crossed anyone's mind that I'd be obligated to go out and find myself another fruit, substituting for the esrog, because I have no esrog, so I look for a mango, I look for a pomegranate, I look for a quince. No, that wasn't obvious. So pshita means what were you mechadesh? Valkane parch pshita. Dei besalke daitach svule dahavi isura. What are you going to tell me? That in the Hava Bina, the Gemara thought that you're not allowed to take a pomegranate? If that be the case, ain't makom lahakshos pshita. Why would the Gemara say pshita? The chiddush, that's an unbelievable chiddush, that the Rabbanu made this gzera that you're not allowed to take a pomegranate. We don't know anything about that. We never heard such a thing. So that would be a chiddush. So what was the Gemara asking? Pshita. It must be that the Gemara read the Braisa is telling you that you're not obligated to take a pomegranate. So the Gemara says, pshita, why would I even think that you're obligated to take a pomegranate? The Torah says you're obligated to take an esrog, not a pomegranate. Oh, ubetirutz haGemara, what the Gemara is saying in the answer, ein hechrek loma dechazru mizeh, don't think that the Gemara changed its tune and retracted its original position. We have no reason to assume so. Rak tirutz, what was the thrust of the answer? That what the Brisa is telling me that you're not obligated to bring to take a pomegranate. How does that answer our question? We said pshita. We never entertained the idea that I'd be obligated to take a pomegranate. He says no. There was a very strong push to assume that you're obligated to take a pomegranate. The salkit, if not for the brisa, chayev lahavi midrabanan. Again, this is not the doraisa mitzvah. Obviously, the Torah is not going to command you or allow you to fulfill this mitzvah with a pomegranate. But midrabanan, we're going to allow you and obligate you to take a pomegranate. I'm sorry. I meant to say obligate. Then whatever I said, forget what I said. Just cross out everything and use the word obligate. The havamina was that you're, if not for this brisa, you're obligated to take a pomegranate if you have no esrog. That sounds pretty weird. Why would I have such a havamina? And the answer is kedesh lo tishtakach toras esrog. In other words, the rabbanon made a takana to do something which is not the real thing. On a doraisa level, it's futile. But the Rabbanan did it for a certain purpose. They wanted to make sure that we would not forget about the mitzvah. This is a very complicated mitzvah which we may not be able to fulfill. As I told you over and over again, in my father's shtetl, it was very hard to get Dalet Minim. So the whole enterprise of Dalet Minim, this whole mitzvah, is really in a vulnerable situation. It's hanging by a thread. Maybe years down the line, the whole mitzvah is going to go into oblivion. And by the way, I have to tell you that there were mitzvahs that actually went into oblivion. Kamashbal and Abraisa, the Abraisa wants to be mechadish. You know what? We have two factors here, two motivations, and two goals. And they're at loggerheads. It's like a tug of war. They're pulling in opposite directions. Like a tug, you know what a tug of war is, right? So you get this wrestler, you know, this big zlob on this side, he's pulling the rope in that direction. You have this big guy on the other side, they're pulling and pulling and pulling. What's pulling in two directions? One direction says the following: Shelo tishtakach toras esrog miyisrael. We might, if we decide that we're going to just drop the whole enterprise of Dalet Minim because we don't have an esrog, then the Rabbanu were very nervous about that. That might mean that the whole mitzvah is going to go down. Litimaon, as we say, Timayon, meaning into oblivion. It's going to be one of those relics of the past. Nobody even remembers that we ever had this mitzvah. That's why, by the way, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made so many takonas about the Beis HaMikdash, because he was afraid that if we don't make those takonas, then all those mitzvahs that existed at the time of the Beis HaMikdash would be totally forgotten. What's pulling and tugging on the other direction? Dilma Asila Mitzvah. That, you know what? Down the line, people are going to think, let me take a pomegranate instead of an esrog. Who says the esrog has to be an esrog? I have a beautiful fruit. It's pre-Eitz Hadar. That's also an esrog. So the Gemara says, as a result of this tug of war, we go back to our original understanding of the Braisa. What was the original understanding of the Braisa? Deha delo yikach min acher hu rak heder chiyuv. Right, that was lines number two and three in this paragraph that starts with the letter Vav, if you can underline those lines. So again, it comes out that according to the Aruch Lamer, it's a fascinating sugya and a whole new sugya. It's not the same sugya that the Sfasevis looked at. The sugya understood that In its original position, that it's pshita, that there's no obligation to take a substitute fruit. The maskana is that there was a havamina to take that there's an obligation to take a substitute fruit, and the maskana in the brisa, the chiddush of the brisa, is that no, there's no obligation to take a substitute fruit. But if you want to take a substitute fruit, you're allowed to. Let me make one point here. The point that the Aruch Haner, I think everything hinges on this point. The Aruch Haner says that if you want to understand the Maskana, what was the final kamashma? What's the position of the Gemara at the end of the day? What you really have to answer is the following question. What was the Gemara vacillating about? What did the Gemara entertain as a possible havamina? And he says that what the Gemara is vacillating and back and forth is whether there's an obligation to take a pomegranate or there's no obligation to take a pomegranate. There was never a discussion here about an isur to take a pomegranate. That was not on the radar screen. Maybe we were influenced by the Sfasevis in his way of thinking. But don't be influenced by that.
And what was their point? What were they?
The Gemara thought, Pshita, why would I even entertain the idea that there's a chiv to take a pomegranate? The Torah says there's a chiv to take an esrog. The answer is no. If not for this brisa, I would justify that there really is a chiv to take a pomegranate. Shalotish tokach, Torah's esrog b'Yisrael. The Gemara's maskana is, no, there's no such chiv. Why? Because we're in a teku situation. What's a teku? Teku is what we call a stalemate in chess. We have two people tugging at the this rope. And at the end of the day, nobody wins the battle. So we have one person tugging in favor of chiv. The other person says there is no chiv. And we don't want to institute such a new mitzvah, because if we institute such a new mitzvah of taking a pomegranate, then at the end of the day, maybe we'll never remember the original mitzvah, which is the Doraisa mitzvah of taking an esrog.
They're both worried about the original mitzvah, but they're worried in two different ways.
Correct. One says, in order to guarantee the original mitzvah, you know what? Take a pomegranate. The other says, no, taking a pomegranate is a very dangerous kind of thing. So at the end of the day, what the Havamina was that we have an obligation to take a pomegranate. The Maskonis, we don't have an obligation to take a pomegranate. But a chutzpah nerve for you to tell me that in the final Maskonis, you're not allowed to take a pomegranate. The Gemara never even entertained such a possibility that you're not allowed to take a pomegranate. That wasn't on the Richter scale. That wasn't on the agenda.
I think the Havamina was that what you were trying to show, Ishtaka, is not mitzvahs or esrog. But a mitzvah is dalad minim.
Excellent. It's a new mitzvah that I want to call dalad minim. And what are those minim? Well,
whatever.
You know, these are minim that will somehow remind me of the original minim. You know, if they're somewhat reminiscent and it looks like a pre-Eitz Hadar from the following perspective, then take it.
Exactly. So that's
and that would be a chiyuv d'rabbanon. Yeah. So kamash v'lan, the final maskon of the brisa is, you're not chayev in such a thing. They never established such a chiyuv, yeah. But you want to do it. You know, you have your calculation on a very subjective level. You feel that by taking this pomegranate, it's going to keep the mitzvah alive, so to speak, for your family and your generations to come. Do what you want. You know, laissez-faire, as we call it. It's up to you.
But no bracha.
No bracha. Well, the maskana no bracha.
No bracha.
Now, in the havamina, the ma'od tema, that I don't know. That the Aruch HaNer doesn't spell out. Would there be a bracha in the havamina? It could be that since this is a new mitzvah d'rabbanan, maybe you'd make a bracha on it. It's no different than Ner Chanukah or Hadlokas Ner Shabbos.
I suppose it's that because if what you're trying to protect is the dalet minim concept, then you would make a bracha, because now it's still Mimkayim Dalet Minim, even though it's, it doesn't mean. The Maskana is, no, you need Dalet Minim, but it has to be these Dalet Minim. And if you're missing the Esrog, you can't make a bracha.
Correct. But if you want to take it, you're allowed to
take it. Because it looks nice.
Now, Rabosa, so, what I'd like to show you is the Shulchan Aruch. And I want to ask you with an open mind, who's right, so to speak, according to the Shulchan Aruch? Is it the Sfasemes, who says you're not allowed to take a pomegranate? Or is it the Aruch Lener, who says the choice is yours, laissez-faire? So let me read to you the language of the Shulchan Aruch. If you have the Mishnah Berurah, you'll find it on page 250. Okay, so we'll take a minute of time for everyone to open up to 250. It's Siman Tov Reish Nun Aleph, which is a very long, complicated Siman. And it's almost at the very end, towards the end of that scene, page 250. Okay? Now, the last word on page 250 in the Mechaber, again, Dan, you remember that the Mechaber is the large, bold print on top. Like, don't look at the Ramah. This is the last word in the Mechaber. Im. Okay? Now we move on to page 251. Im chaser lo echad min aminah. Okay. So what would the Aruch Haner say? I'm stopping in the middle for pedagogic reasons. How would the Aruch Haner finish this sentence that starts in Chasel or Echad Min Amin? Shari, yeah, it's up to you. You'll want to take another minna. Listen to the language of the Mechaber. Lo yikach min acher bimkomo. What does that sound like, Rabosai? It's an Iser, it's Svasemes. And I'll prove it to you even vital. Take a look at Halacha Yudalek. Halacha Yudalek says, Lo Yosef min acher al arbaas haminim. Now he's adding a fifth min. That's not the case that we discussed in Yud Gimel. But let me ask you a question. What does the word lo mean in Sif Yudalek? It's absolutely awesome. What he said, does he violate if he adds a fifth min? Baltosif. So the very fact that he uses lo yikach min acher, and then in the same breath, although the next maybe took a half a breath, he says lo Yosef min acher. I would assume they're both the same. Otherwise, he doesn't get a very good grade in editorial clarity. And I'm a big fan of the Mechaber. I mean, for 500 years, this was our Shulchan Aruch, right?
No, this means doesn't the Talmud mean taking a fifth one?
No, I'm asking you the following question, Michael. If I could convince you that in Yudalid, when it says the word lo, it means you're not allowed to, would you agree with me that therefore the lo that comes five words earlier in Sif Yud Gimel also means that you're not allowed to?
Well, yeah, but I would say that even without looking at the lo in Yudalid. I mean,
no, I'm just giving you an extra push here. Do you understand? My extra push is how could the Mechaber have the chutzpah of using the word lo twice, almost in one breath? And in the first breath, he means you're allowed to and it's up to you. And in the second breath, lo means you're absolutely not allowed to. That would be a very misleading. I would not give him a good grade if he was a student of mine in a writing course. You know, if he was taking writing 3.18, I would not give him a good grade in my class. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that in Halacha Yudalid, when he says lo Yosef min acher, he's adding a fifth min. The word lo means he's not allowed to. In fact, we're going to flog him. Was that the word, bitch? Flog him with 39 lashes if he does that. Now I go back to the lo yikach min acher. You can tell me lo yikach min acher all of a sudden means you don't have to take it if you don't want it. That's the way the Aruch Haner says it. So you know what, Rav Osai? The Aruch Haner has a right to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. But here I want to read to you the Rambam. Because to disagree with the Rambam, that's already, now you're fighting a real uphill battle. So the Rambam is in Hilchos Lulav, Perek Zayin, Halacha He. Okay, you don't have that on your page, but just listen Baal Peh. The Rambam says the following, Arba Minim Elu, Mitzvah Achasen. This is what I'm trying to teach me. There's no separate mitzvah. Right. The Gemara in Tzitzis has a whole chakira, whether each Tzitzis is a separate mitzvah, or it's one mitzvah, the Gemara in Tefillin, back and forth, there's a one mitzvah Tefillin, and two mitzvahs. The Rabbi says, don't even entertain the idea that there are four separate mitzvahs, one on the Esrog, one on the Lulav. Arba minim elu mitzvah achasen, uma'akvim zeh etzeh. You got to have four of us. Okay? The ein pochs in the end, which would mean what?
Three.
The ein mosif in alein, which would mean five.
Isn't this tautologous? He's just saying exactly the same thing three times.
No.
He's emphasizing.
No. No, Michael. First he says that you need all four. Now he's telling you that you're not allowed to take more than four or less than four. A whole different story. The first story is dealing with the mitzvah of Lekach and Lechem. Now he's dealing with the Lozaseh of Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra. So let me read it again. Arba mi'ema'elu mitzvah achasen uma'akvim zed zed. Then he writes, v'ein pokes in the end, v'ein mosif in aleihem. That's already a lav d'oraisa. Now listen to his finale in the very same halacha. V'ein lo nimtza echad mi'hem. Ein mevi'im tachtov min acher hadom elo. I'm going to read it again, Rav Osai. He doesn't have one of the four. V'im lo nimtza echad mi'hem. He's missing one of the four. Ein mevi'im tachtov min acher hadom elo. the Rav is a beautiful pedagogue. He's just finished telling, you see, I don't know why the Machaber switched the order around. The Rambam's order is much more beneficial for me against the Aruch Laner today. I'm a big fan of the Aruch Laner, Yishma. But today, I think he's wrong. At least according to the Rambam. I mean, he could disagree with the Rambam, but that's already, you know, then you're fighting against the big guys, you know what I'm saying? Against the gladiators, you know? The Rambam says, Ein, Aleph Yud Nun. And he repeats himself three times. First time, Ein Pochsim Mehem. Second time, Ein Mosif in a lamb. And the third time, Ein Mevim Tachtov Min Acher Hadomo. I rest my case. There's no way you could even begin to convince me that when the Rambam says Ein Mevim Min Acher Hadomo, he means it's up to you. You decide whether you want to have a min. So what I say is the following. If the Aruch Laner wants to disagree with the Sfas Emes, Tovel of Bracha, that certainly he's gebenched. He's not obligated to the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says, no, you're not allowed to take a minachet. If he wants to disagree with the Machaber and Shulchan Aruch, I'm not happy about it, but, you know, okay. But to disagree with the Rambam, that's already, in my books, crossing red line.
Let me try and defend. It says you have to take one that is domer. It's domer. A pomegranate is nothing whatsoever like an etrog. A lemon, however, is like an etrog. So maybe...
I thought the word domer means that it's a pre-etz hadar, meaning it has certain beauty.
I don't know. You can't substitute a lemon, because then people really will get confused. People might think, oh, it's okay.
Lemon looks at me.
Exactly. Whereas for sure you can't take a pomegranate.
Pomegranate, maybe the Rambam would allow you to take
exactly.
Red.
I'm just...
Nice. I like it, Mike. I like it a lot. It's always good to defend the Aruch Laner.
How far down is it would be considered still a pomegranate, body pomegranate, an estuary possible?
What about how far down you say?
What if for the fourth thing he wants to put, he doesn't have anything to put there, and he puts a picture of a pile. Now it's possible.
I don't think anyone would object. I think it's maybe pure stupidity. I don't know.
And nowadays you get a 3D printer and you can actually try it. You can actually make it.
At some point maybe we'll get to Dilma Sila Misra. I mean, it's gonna look so much like the real thing, you know. They put on these 3D glasses, you know, your hand goes out there, you know. Saying, have you been to Orlando? You know, there's Spider Man, you know, oh, let me grab my thing. They put it in front of your eyes with a 3D thing. So I went to one of those exhibits with Ricky. You know Ricky. So Ricky didn't want to wear the glasses because he wouldn't be able to read the sefer in front of him. But if you don't wear the glasses, you might as well stay outside. You know, but he didn't want to back off from his learning. He's a big tzaddik. Rabbo said, "Do you have the Chazon Ish? It looks like this."
Actually, it doesn't quite look like that. It looks like this.
Right. Yes. This is pretty similar.
Right. It's yours is the picture.
Okay. So let me give a little bit of background to this Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish wants to know the following. Can I have a sukkah and fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah without karka? Now let me explain. My gut reaction to this whole discussion is our sugya here on Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Eliezer at least, if I throw you out of your sukkah, I cannot fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. And the Gemara entertains two approaches. One approach is to say the karka nigzeles. And the other approach is to say that it's a she'ula and he doesn't own the sukkah. But let's go back to the first possibility. The first possibility says that karka nigzeles, which means that the karka is a stolen piece of karka, which the implication of which is that even according to the Rabbanon, this sukkah should be a sukkah psul. So then the Gemara differentiates between a mobile sukkah and a mechubel karka sukkah. If I throw you out of your sukkah, then it's not a sukkah gzula because karka ain't an exelus according to the Rabbanon. Whereas if I take over your mobile sukkah, then that's called a sukkah gzula and it's possible even according to Rabbanon midin lechon. But the entire sugya revolves around ownership over the karka, which means that if karka nigzelis, then there's a problem here because the karka was stolen. According to the Rabbanon, the only way I could get out of that is by saying karka ain't nigzelis. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara says, I offer you two reasons why this sukkah is psula, is invalid. Either because the karka was stolen, or alternatively because the karka is not yours. And if it's not yours, then it's sha'ula, and it's not considered lecha. So before I saw the Chazon Ish, I thought the whole thrust of this Gemara, this is something that Dr. Joel raised about 2 days ago, he raised this point, that a sukkah requires karka. It's not just a discussion about schach. For example, yesterday, for those of you who might have heard it, the Pinsker of Bezdin, his name was Rabbi Eliezer Moshe Horovitz, he said, no, the whole discussion about a sukkah is only what? The schach. You know, tell me something about the schach. Is the schach possible? Is it made of this? If it's made of that, it's mekabel tuma. If it's srucha, if it smells bad, the schach. If it's stolen schach, all that is psule schach. And he seems to be cutting out completely the karka. He says that the problem with a sukkah versus a rabbim, if you remember, is that the rabbanu were mafkir the schach. They made it hefker. And therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't own the schach. It's sh'ul. But completely cut out the problem of the karka. That's not the simple understanding of the Gemara. Then I saw the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says the following: Nira de kol sha karka gzula, af sha schach vadfano shelo, psula I karka nigzelis. This, I think, is an intuitive approach. You built your schach and your defanos on stolen karka. Again, I don't know what stolen karka means, but let's say according to Rabbi Eliezer, karka nigzelis. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, if the karka is stolen, the sukkah is completely possible. V'chein l'Rabbi Eliezer posel mishum chisaron lachem. There's a psul here, the result of the fact that the karka is not yours. She'im ein karka ein sukkah. Please underline those words. Unbelievable. He's like writing his own Gemara. I don't know this Gemara anyway. Im ein karka ein sukkah. You know, this reminds me of a Gemara in Bava Kama. Im ein kefal ein dal behe. You remember that the chiyuv of a ganav, you know, if he steals, the sharvis says to pay dal behe. That's only if he's chayiv kefal. But if for some reason he's not chayiv kefal, he's not going to be chayiv dal behe. Remove the rug from underneath the entire structure. So the Chazon Ish says that a sukkah is made up of three parts, going from the top to the bottom. It's made up of schach, it's made up of defanos, and it's made up of karka. But if there's no karka, then there's no sukkah. Oh. Now that's absolutely contradicting. Again, he doesn't know this, the Chazon Ish, he doesn't quote this, but it's against everything that we discussed yesterday in the name of the Pinsker of Bezdin. But now the Chazon Ish understands that he has a problem. Why? Let's say I invite you to build your sukkah in my backyard. I'm not willing to give you ownership over the karka of my backyard, of my chutz. So that's going to be the case in Nehemiah that you may remember that we mentioned, that Nehemiah testifies that back in the day in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to build their sukkah in the chutz of the Beis HaMikdash. So no one's giving any ownership over the chutz of the Beis HaMikdash to anybody. But the schach is yours. The defilos are yours. So what happens if I say to you, Don, you know what? You know, you're living in an apartment building, maybe you don't have a large porch, whatever it means. Come into my backyard and build your sukkah in my backyard. I have a large backyard. I'm not, I ain't sorry, I forgive you. But I'm not willing to give you any ownership in my backyard. Now, according to the Chazon Ish, this is going to be a serious problem. Why? Because what's the Chazon Ish's principle? In ein karka, ein sukkah. Now Rabbi Eliezer holds that lecha means it's got to be your sukkah. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, therefore, it has to be your karka. Here I invited you to build your sukkah on my karka. How would Rabbi Eliezer allow such a thing? Just like we said that if karka nigzelis, that if you steal the karka, even if you build your schach on your set of your sukkah on this karka nigzelis, stolen karka, it's possible. Why? Because if there's a psul of gozel in the karka, then in aim karka, aim sukkah, so to hear, if I invite you and you don't own my karka, so what if you bring your own schach in aim karka, aim sukkah, according to the Chazon Ish? Aval im chavero nosan lo rishus laso sukkah b'chatzero v'adfanos v'aschach shelo mikri lachem. I would cross this out and write lecha. Okay, it doesn't matter. It's the same idea. Right? Mikri lachem afilu l'Rabbi Eliezer. Why? So he says the following. Kaven d'yesh lo karka she'ula. Now again, she'ula is not considered lachem. Correct? So if I borrow your sukkah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I'm not yotze. But here, the schach is mine, the defanis are mine, but the she'ula is on the karka. Says the Chazon Ish, kvar yesh lo makom l'sukkah, v'asukkah atzma shelo. This is mind-boggling. The Chazon Ish retracts his original position. Well, not really retracts it. He qualifies it. And he says the following. Yesh l'chalek. There are two scenarios. One scenario is where I take over your karka, and I put my sukkah with my schach on your karka. In such a case, I'm not yotze, according to Rabbi Eliezer, because karka nigzelis, and ein karka ein schach. But in the case where you invited me to use your karka, your backyard, for my sukkah, then the karka itself becomes she'ula. And once the karka becomes she'ula, that's enough to allow me to set up a sukkah, schach, which is my schach, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, requires ownership over the sukkah. I'm no longer going to apply the principle of an ein karka, ein sukkah.
Why?
I don't know why. And he doesn't give us any
explanation. Because shu'ula means automatically implies that the Baal is giving him, for the period of time that he's mashgil in that, he's giving him bailus over that.
No, but that we can't say, Al. That's an untenable position, because again, if I give you bailus, then according to Rabbi Eliezer, every case of a sukkah she'ula should be kosher. Rabbi Eliezer again says that a sukkah she'ula, in other words, I have my own sukkah.
Yeah.
It's my schach, it's my defados, it's my backyard, my chotzer, and now I invite you to sit in my sukkah. Says Rabbi Eliezer, you can't be yotze. I'm inviting you to come into my sukkah, it's not lochem. However, if I invite you to build your sukkah on my chotzer, then according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could be yotze. What happened to she'ula? So I would have said, well, it depends. If you hold that karka she'ula and all the dinim and the requirements of sukkah, of schach, apply to karka, then you have a serious problem. I can't invite you to use my karka, because in the case where I invite you into my sukkah, I'm not, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I'm not yotze, right? I use the word I incorrectly, but I'm saying, if I invite you into my sukkah, then you're not yotze. Why? Because the sukkah she'ula is possible. That's how Rabbi Eliezer darshins l'cha. L'cha l'ma'ute she'ula. A barred sukkah is possible.
No.
So why is this not a barred sukkah? So you'll tell me, well, it's my schach. You only invited me to use your karka. So the karka she'ula. But who cares about the karka? If I was the Pinsker of Benson, I would say, who cares about the karka? There's no psul of karka she'ula. The psul is schach she'ula. But the schach is my schach. You invited me to build your my sukkah in your chatzin. Comes along the Chazon Ish, and he says, no, if karka would have been nigzelis, then even if you set up your schach on my stolen karka, it's possible. Why? Because of the main karka and sukkah, meaning the psul and all the requirements apply not just to the schach, but also to the karka. Comes along the Chazon Ish and says that if I invite you to build your sukkah, my chatzin, your yotze, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because the karka is a karka she'ula. Now you're playing games with me. This is like a mind game. He's telling me that on the one hand, karka is an integral part of what? Of the sukkah. And the requirements of karka and the psulim of karka will apply. I'm sorry. The requirements of sukkah and the psulim of sukkah apply equally to what? Okay. To the schach as they do to the karka. But he makes the exception to the rule as far as Sha'ula is concerned. Sha'ula is a psul in schach, but not in karka. So if the karka is karka Sha'ula, but the schach is your schach, you can be yotze. If the karka is and the schach both are Sha'ula, that's possible. And if you build your sukkah on my chutzah without my rishus, so since the karka is gzula, if you hold karka in gzelis, so too the sukkah is psul, because the main karka ain't sukkah. But if on the other hand the sukkah is sha'ula and I invite you in, I would have said according to Chazon Ish that's the same old psul of sukkah sha'ula. He says, nay, no, that's not a psul of sukkah sha'ula.
Right,
I can't make any sense. No, he doesn't explain it. Okay, that was Roman numeral number 2, to get off my chest this Chazon Ish. So the Roman numeral number 1 was to get off my chest this Sfasemes, that the Sfasemes insists that according to Tosis is Maskana, if you take a Yaveh, a lulav or an Esrog Yaveh, and you don't have any options, says that the Sfasemes, you make a brach on that. That was my peeve. I don't understand that. The second part of that first part was that for sure you're not allowed to take a pomegranate. And this is where the Aruch HaShulchan has a pet peeve over here. Why can't you take a pomegranate? We tried to prove, both from the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to take a pomegranate. Dilma Asi L'Misra. Part 2 is, what's the status of karka in sukkah? Is karka part of the essence of the sukkah, such that all the requirements of sukkah and all the psulim thereof apply even to the karka? Or is karka something that's unnecessary? And we saw yesterday the name of the Av Beis Din of Pinsk, that the karka is irrelevant, all the psulim have to be chal on the schach. The Chazon Ish, on the other hand, says that if karka nixeles, even if it be your schach, the whole thing is out. It's possible. Why? Because im ein karka, ein sukkah. And now we're asking, how could the Chazon Ish then turn around and say that I can invite you into my chatzer and tell you to build your sukkah in my chatzer, and even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who requires ownership, this is Shaul, says the Chazon Ish, it's okay. Why? Because he has ownership over the schach, even though he has no ownership over the chatzer. And now we get to Roman numeral number 4. Okay.
Number 3.
What happens, since David mentioned the number 3, if I take 3 minim and not 4?
You already know.
I violate what? Baltigra. What if I take 5 minim and not 4? I violate Baltosif. Now, the Gemara, surprisingly, says that this issue of adding a 5th min and violating Baltosif depends upon a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Rabbi Yehuda says, lulav tzarech agad. So let's imagine the following situation. He took the lulav, he tied it together, he bound it together with the aravos and the hadasim, and then he takes another min that's outside the agad. So the Gemara says that even though according to the Chachamim that would be Baltosif, you're not allowed to take a 5th min, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can apply a different principle. There's no Baltosif. Hai l'chudekai, v'hai l'chudekai. So what I want to show you is a very important Tosis here. On Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, Dibra Maskil Hoil. Do you have such a Tosis?
Top of the page.
Now, Rabosai, the Masifta adds a lot of footnotes here that are very important. So, what I took the liberty, with Alan's help, of photocopying a page that looks like this. It's on the other side of the Chazon Ish. Okay?
That doesn't mean it disagrees with that.
Right, no. It's not Euler Rosh, Euler Shkenyah. This is Biurei Atosis. Now, what he does in this Biurei Atosis is he adds a bunch of footnotes, which is on the bottom, and that's called Siyunim Veha'aris. And he quotes various Gedolim of the giants of the centuries, some of which I'm not even familiar with their names. The men, well, I shouldn't say the man, because this is a whole panel of scholars that produce this thing called Biurei Atosis, which is published in the back. of the Masifta, a whole cadre of scholars, and they have access through different methods, I don't know exactly how, coming up with Sforim that maybe you and I never heard. Okay. Now let's just go over the Gemara so we'll appreciate where Tosis is coming from. The Gemara says, Hoyil the Omer Rabbi Yehuda Lulav Tzarech Agad, since Rabbi Yehuda maintains the position that it's absolutely critical, li'ikuva, that you tie together three out of the four minim, namely the lulav, the hadas, and the aravos. Therefore, imaisi minachrina, if he adds another min, I know, can anybody give me an example of that? I know I said kuzber, but didn't seem to bring any sort of... I don't know, I just for the sake of it, what would, if you were adding another min, which one wants to argue quite to you who you're allowed to do, what would you add? I don't know, can anybody come up with something?
Is it including
what?
A grapevine.
A grapevine? Well, it's very nice, a grapevine. It's, it has
a
good smell.
Nice,
no, it's one thing. No, I'm just saying, you know, I told you that in Sukkah, people are very creative, you know, to beautify the Sukkah. So if you wanted to be creative in the lulav and add a fifth min, what would, I was just wondering, you know, a great point. Okay, I don't know. To
me, some people might think that you have to use the aguda that you use
elsewhere. One second. I'm not, that wasn't my question. We're going to get to aguda, but I'm in Mizrahi now, not in aguda. So I want to know what would, you know, I just thought, Rabbo said, maybe if you were creative about the Dalet Min, you know, you'll do it as an artist, right?
Yeah.
So, but does she know anything about botany? So ask her if she can to come up with a beautiful kind of fifth min, okay? Because the Gemara wants to say that as long as you leave that fifth min outside of the Agad, so the Gemara says, Hai lechudekoi v'hai lechudekoi, which means that it remains a separate entity and it's not part of...
Excluded.
Of the Dalet Min. Why? Because Rabbi Lezer says that in order to qualify to be part of Dalet Min, in three out of four cases at least, you have to be part of what? Of Aga. Satosis says that from the fact that the Gemara comes up with this Hai Lechudekai, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the implication seems to be that according to the Rabbanon, who hold Ein Tzarech Aga, it should be awesome. Meaning the whole thrust of the Gemara to come up with a permission to add another min is only within the framework of Lulav Tzarech Agad, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Rabbanan who hold Lulav Ein Tzarech Agad, it was a milsa the Pshita that you can't add another min. Tosa says Tema. I don't understand this logic. Kol Shkein the Rabbanan. How much more so according to the Rabbanan who hold that lulav ain't tzarech agad, for sure, if you don't even need an agad, so you don't have an agad, then the fifth min is just, you know, like hanging around, so to speak. You know, it's not in any way connected to the other min. Meaning,
well, there you would, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can quite clearly see that min is outside of the
aguda. That's the answer, Tosfos. But
yes,
we're going to try to explain the Hava Min and Tosfos. The Hava Min and Tosfos is the following. That if I had to choose where there would be an allowance of permission for adding a fifth min, whether it would be Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of Lulav Tzarech Agad or the Rabbanan Ein Tzarech Agad, I would have said, the Daf according to the Rabbanan, I'm going to allow you to take a fifth min. That's what Tosfos says. Why? Because he says the following. That Bishleim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can integrate something into the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, so to speak. In other words, it's one entity. According to the Rabbanon, we never really connect the meaning together because we don't require binding. Again, I mentioned in the past that that's not a lot of mice because the Chofetz Chaim says that Zekei Levi Aveihu, so we're going to bind. But leave out Zekei Levi Aveihu now. As far as the mitzvah of Lulav is concerned, L'kachem L'chem, each one of the four minim is a separate entity. So I took four minim. Now I took a fifth min as well. That fifth min is totally out of the picture. According to Rabbi Yehuda, at least, there's going to be a case or a hava minim where I can integrate the minim into one entity. When I say the minim again, Rabbi said, please keep in mind that I mean three out of four. I'm not going to repeat myself a million times. So the integration theory...
Does the agad have to be from one of the other minim?
Well, you're back to Alan's point. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alan wants to know, what about the agate itself, meaning the rubber band, so to speak? You know, does it have to be...
No rubber band.
It does.
No, I'm using the word rubber band symbolically to refer to it.
Because that's incorporated, if that's so important.
Yeah. But again, all this we're going to get to, but I'm trying to figure out if we can understand Tosis without the issue of what do you use to bind it together. Let's assume that you're using a lulav, meaning an ole of a lulav to bind it together, right? So in that sense, you know, you've integrated three out of the four minim into one entity. Now I can talk about integrating a fifth min, that's the hamavina, that I might violate baltosif, right? In the case of Rabbi Yehuda, of lulav tzarech agat, is a very strong hamavina. I've been up since a very early hour. This is the third class I'm teaching. The havamina that you would not violate baltosif makes a lot of sense according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara says there's no havamina that you'd be allowed to add a fifth min according to the Rabban. Counsel and Tosi says the opposite should be true. According to the Rabban Dafka, I would think that there are discrete separate independent entities here that make up the lulav, because it's Rabbi Yehuda requires to integrate them into. If you want to say that Rabbi Yehuda, basically Tosfos's logic is that on the tzad le'isur, on the tzad to postulate a violation of baltosif, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be more helpful. He's going to be more machmir lechumra. Why is there more of a chumra according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have what I call the theory of integration. If you have the theory of integration, then a fifth min, if it's integrated, again, we have to figure out, Tosfos at this point doesn't think that Rabbi Yehuda not only has an integration theory, but he has an anti-integration theory. That's going to be in the maskon of Tosfos. So that thought you have to leave out of your mind if you want to get by this Tosfos. So right now, Tosfos thinks that since Rabbi Yehuda has an integration theory, therefore there's more of a reason to be machmir in baltosif. But there are Rabbanan who don't have an integration, which means that each one of the minim has its own personality, it's discrete, and it's independent, we never actually integrate them, then for sure it's mutter to add a fifth min. There's more of a reason, according to the Rabbanan, and Tosfos is going to try to prove this, to assume that since there's non-integration, there is no integration, that for sure there's no violation of baltos.
Yeah, because Easter's his own being.
Yes. Let me just see if, you know, we have to stop for Mincha, but let's see if I can just get to the point of the cash of Tosis. Tema says Tosis kolshkein l'rabbanon. If the Rabbanan dropped the requirement of agad, of integration, then bevadai for sure, yesh lahatir, we could be more liberal and allow adding a fifth min. Why? He says, I'll prove it to you. Demashma li'el, that the Gemara says above, on Daf Lamed Aleph, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, because of Rabbi Yehuda's integration theory, that lulav tzarech agad, now we come to Mitch's issue, and Alan, you raised it before, e agid le, mi min acher, if he uses a fifth min to serve as, I call it, the rubber band, meaning as the binding agent, havilei chameshes minim. You see that Rabbi Yehuda adds to the chumra of baltosif, because if you take something other than a lulav, a leaf, if you take anything other than a leaf of the ulav to bind the four minim, then it's a fifth min and you violate baltosif. Avol rabbanon, the ein tzarech agad, lo. The fifth min that you're using as what? As a binding agent, but the halacha doesn't require a binding agent, is ha'iluchudika. You see, the Rabbanon, because they dropped the ball on any integration theory, therefore this fifth min remains independent, and it's not integrated into the four minim. So we see clearly that the svara to be matir is, or let's say it the other way around, that according to the Rabbanon, there's more of a push to be matir and drop the... And drop the violation of baltosif. And now I'm going to bring a second proof. I'll prove it from a sugya in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if a zokeh mamre paskins on allowing you to do something which would undermine a mitzvah, then he's a zokeh mamre and he's put to death. That's called elu hei nechnokim. So Gabi zokeh mamre, it says the following. Kol Amosif Goreya. That if he adds something to the mitzvah, in other words, he gives you a ruling, the Sakim Mamre, rebellious person, and he says, add something to the number that the Torah requires. For example, add a fifth min in the lulav, then he's a Zakim Mamre, and he's put to death. So the Gemara says the following. This is a quote from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The East Viralon, the lulav ain't Tzarech Agad. If this statement is reflective of the opinion of the Rabbanan that lulav does not Tzarech Agad, Hailechudekoi. So therefore, in the case of the fifth min, it's not called Kol Amosif Goreya. He's not undermining the mitzvah, and he's not a Zakim Mamre. When does he qualify as a Zakim Mamre? That's only if you're like Rabbi Yehuda, that what? That lulav tzarech agad. So here I bring two proofs to show you that there's more push to be machmir about and careful about hosofas min chamishi and violating Baal Tosfos according to Rabbanan and according to Rabbi Yehuda than there is according to Rabbanan. Number one, the Gemara says that if you use a fifth min as the binding agent, then you violate Baal Tosfos according to whom? According to Rabbi Yehuda, only according to Rabbi Yehuda, because lulav tzarech agad. Number two, the Gemara says, when do you qualify as a zakim mamre by adding a fifth min in lulav? That's only if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that lulav tzarech agad. So we see clearly that the Gemara assumes that dafka according to Rabbi Yehuda is a chumra of Baal Tosfos, but according to Rabbanan that each one of the minim are distinct and separate entities, there's no Baal Tosfos. So how does our Gemara here say that dafka according to Rabbi Yehuda we're going to be mekil, and we're going to say that if he brings a fifth min, hai lechudekai, hai lechudekai. All right, Rabbi Yosef, so we'll stop here.